Well, we are coming to the end of a series where we've been talking about outreach. We talked about living the light. We talked about bearing fruit. And we had a special guest last week. Wasn't he wonderful? Wasn't that a neat experience to have Paul Douglas here with us and speaking? And you guys got the good one. Second service was a completely different sermon. So if you guys listen to second service, he was bouncing around a little more than, so you guys got a little more sequential sermon. So, I was keeping up with him just fine. just a neat man. And he had, some of the same stories, second service, but really it was the same idea of, transitions and getting that transmission working right with the transitions, it was entertaining. It was just such a wonderful experience to have him here with us. So today we're going to be doing something just very different, and I don't think you guys get as nervous as you once did when I start a sermon like that. Today is just going to be a very relaxed, what I want to be doing today is I want to be teaching you how to use a tool that we've had here. I developed a few years ago, about 4 years ago, as a tool to be able to help us to be able to share Christ with others when we get those questions. When we get the question, when you're living the light, when you're bearing the fruit, and you're out there and you're living that way, and you start to experience that form of outreach, then inevitably someone's going to ask you about your faith. They're going to ask you about why you do the things you do. How do you go through this? How did you withstand that? You're always so nice, or you're always so encouraging, or you're always so honest. And somewhere that fruit that you're dropping everywhere, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and that light that we share, the light that we share out, the good deeds that we do, Jesus says, let them see the good deeds that you do and praise your Father in heaven. That will happen as we are the light, as we bear fruit. People will see God in us. They'll see God through the deeds that we do. And as we bear the fruit of the Spirit, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's God's Spirit living in us. That's where the fruit comes from. And when we keep in step with the Spirit and we bear His fruit, then people will see Him more than just us. And so inevitably, someone will have that question. They'll have something, and you'll have an open door. And if it gets to a point, so you can start that relationship, keep talking and share with them, answer questions, but it might get to a point where they're saying, what about this church thing, or what about becoming a Christian? I thought it was really neat that Mike had his communion meditation on the subject that he had it on, because that's exactly what we're going to be talking about here today. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the map of hope. How many of you guys remember that from few years ago? Okay, just a couple. Okay, so we have out at the information center, we've got multiple ways that you can use this tool. We have a threefold pamphlet that's out there on the, and I'm not a track guy, so this is not a track. This is not someone to hand somebody. I mean, you can, and it would work, but that's not the goal. The goal of this is not just to give somebody and say, here, do this and become a Christian, okay? The goal is this is a tool for you to sit down and be personal with somebody. And walk through, and that way you don't feel like, well, I don't know what to say, or I don't know what scriptures to take them to, or I don't know what to do. This is a guide, and it's a very simple guide. It's 19 verses, or 19 passages. It's more verses than that, but 19 separate passages, and it walks you through different things. And so we've got the pamphlet out there, and this has all the walkthrough stuff that you would want to have with you for some extra notes. If you want to grab this, study it, and then just keep one of these in your pocket. We've got two other versions. We've got a bookmark version for, you can just keep it in your Bible. That way, anytime you come across something, some of you guys have your Bible with you all the time in the car and you take it to work or whatever, but if this bookmark version's in your Bible, then I brought my Bible, my actual paper Bible here. When it's in your Bible there, then when someone asks you about something, you don't have to say, oh, well, wait, you can go here and you've got all the passages that you don't have the helps in there, but you have the passages in the main topics. So that's how you can use that one. And then the little business card version front and back there that you can use, and you can just slide that in your wallet, slide that in your purse, whatever, and that way you got that with you all the time. Now, for those of you guys who are in the digital, and we're going to be using the digital here in a minute, you guys can go to our website. I'll show you where this is. Okay, so this is our website. So you go to the About Us. I know it's hard to see here, but once you're online at home, go to We Believe, and you can go to Map of Hope. In your bulletins, the address is back here in the sermon section. It's just miamitowncc.com/Map of Hope there. So the address is there, and that will take you to this. And if you you can just scroll down through there, and it has the scripture passage and the little helps exactly what you'd have in the pamphlet. And you'd have that on your computer at home. You'd have it, pull mine back up here. You got it right here. You can go onto it on your phone. If you've got a smartphone, you can go to it on your tablet, which tablets are orientated the wrong way there. Where? Map of Hope, it was here. Well, I might have to find that again then. But you can go to these different places to get it digitally. So we've got this version, so you can use it with your Bible. We've got the digital version. And so I'm just going to sit down and walk you through this. There it is. So you can pull it up on your tablet as well. And then scroll through. And then what YouVersion has allowed us to do, and I'm hoping I understand the legalities. At one time, we could not use Bible verses on our website from like NIV or NAS or some of the more popular versions because of copyright issues there. So we did not put the verses on there, but YouVersion or Bible.com, the Bible app for your phone, they have a website. It's Bible.com for YouVersion, and they have the ability to have the scriptures there, and they give you the ability to be able to link to them. So I'm thinking it's okay. So what I did is I went through and I put links to all these verses, so you don't even need to have a separate Bible when you're on digital. As long as you've got internet connection, and if you've got the app on your phone, it acts a little weird. It takes you to the chapter and not the verse, which is, I was trying to work that out, but I couldn't work the bugs out there. But if you're on a computer, on my tablet, it works just fine. And for some reason, my phone, your phone, it might work just fine. So you start here. The journey of hope begins here, 1 Timothy chapter 2. And you're going to click that, and it'll open up another window. And right there it is, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. It says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to come, who wants all people to be saved. And that's something you'll want to kind of pause on and just really emphasize that. God wants all people to be saved. And to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. There's that word again, for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And so you can read that verse. You can go back to your little helps there in the map of hope. And you can talk to the person, say, hey, God wants all people to come to repentance. That's everybody. Jesus died as a ransom for everybody. That's you, that's me, and that's, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, that's where we're kind of starting with this tool. And he wants everyone to come into this knowledge of truth, and the knowledge of truth is exactly what Mike was talking about earlier, the knowledge of the gospel, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that there's only one way, there's only one God and only one Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And the next verse hits on that same thing in Acts chapter 2. Four. So we're going back to that's where that little paragraph there, you'd pick up some of that. Then Acts chapter 4, you click that and it switches you back over here. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And the verse just before that was talking about Jesus. So that's what it's talking about. Yeah, if you wanted to do that, you could click that and go to the chapter and all that. But we can go back to the helps. The map of hope there. So Jesus is the only source of salvation for mankind. This is a bold claim. There are a lot of other religions out there, and whoever you're talking to that you might be sharing this with, they might have heard a lot of different things. And there are a lot of different religions, and there are many religions that say, oh, well, you just need to believe something, or believe in a version of God, or just be good, just do good things, and you'll get into heaven, or you'll get into a positive afterlife, or whatever their belief system is based on. But Christianity is the only religion, if you want to use that term, the only belief system that is exclusive to Jesus, that says that there's only one way to get to heaven. There's only one way you can be saved, and that's through Jesus. And that's a bold claim. That's a big claim. But that's what we stand on. And so as you're sharing with someone, that's a verse where you can say, that's what I believe, and that's why I've chosen this, because Jesus is the only way, and he's the only way to have hope. And so then in that section of the beginning of the journey, we've got John 3:16, but the verses after that, because that whole chapter is just rich. It's from the Bible. The whole Bible's rich, really. John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. A lot of people would recognize that verse, whoever you're sharing with, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. So that goes back to that idea that God wants all people to be saved. Jesus was a ransom for all people in the 1 Timothy verse we started with. And then you can kind of reemphasize that a little bit and say, God loved the whole world that he gave his only Son. And Jesus was sent not to condemn the world. The purpose of Jesus was to save the world, to bring salvation to the world. But whoever does not believe stands condemned. Condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives in the light, or whoever lives in the by the truth, comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. Okay, and that's where we kind of move into this concept of choices. And once again, Mike, I don't know if you somehow ESP'd my sermon on that. But it goes to choices, that we have a choice to walk in the light or walk in the darkness. And so we've got this idea that Jesus wants us to know truth. God wants all people to know truth. He wants all people to be saved. He loved the world. He loved everyone so much that he sent his only Son. And his only Son came so that we wouldn't be condemned, so that we could have salvation. But here's what happens, and here's what we see all around us. We see people that choose the light, and we choose the darkness, and that's a choice that we have. And so this opens the door into this next section, which talks about the hopelessness of sin. And for some reason, mine's not scrolling, so I'll be fully dependent up here. Romans 8:5-8 says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Okay, so technology is failing me up here. So we have this choice of light or dark, good or evil. And so the mind controlled by the Spirit brings life and peace, but the mind controlled by sin or controlled by flesh, that brings death. And that's where these choices lead us. The choice to be led by the Spirit, or the choice to be led by our sinful nature, our sinful desire. And the sinful mind is hostile towards God. It cannot please him. And that's just not a good place to be. And so then we go to 1 John 3:4, and this is just a very simple definition of sin. If you're talking to somebody and you're trying to explain what sin is, or they're, I've heard the word sin, but where are we at? This just gives a very, very, very simple version of sin, or simple definition of sin in First John 3:4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. That's what it is. Sin is disobeying God. Sin is going against God's wishes. Sin is going against what God wants us to do. We know that, but it's nice to have something to be able to go to and say, here's where God's word says that this is what this is, in a very simple form, without having to read a whole chapter about sin. Here's one little verse, and this is what sin is. And so we bounce back over, and then we talk about this pair of verses, 3:23 and 6:23. I can never stay away from those when I'm talking about coming to Christ. So 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so you'd go back to your help there and talk to them and say, we've all sinned. Every one of us, we've all sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. And so we sin and we're going to continue to sin. All of us. That's something, that's a condition that we're all involved in. And then you go to Romans 6, 23, and it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so I typically pause a little bit there and I say, okay, what's a wage? You know, and well, what is a wage? What is that? What's a wage? What? It's what you earn. Yes. And so when you're talking with someone, you share this and you read that and you say, well, what's a wage? You know, ask them to talk back to you on that. You know, what is a wage? Well, it's something you earn. Well, then if we kind of replace that in there, the wages, what we earn from sin is death. That's what we earn. We don't earn eternal life. Eternal life is a gift. Eternal life is something that's given to us, offered to us as a gift. But what we earn through our sin is death. And then Romans 3:23 that we just read, everyone sins. I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned, and we're going to continue to sin. And sin earns death. And we're all in this hopelessness of sin. So we go back to then down to Acts 3:19. So then we get in this subject of repentance. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Repent then and turn to God. That gives us repentance is a little, you know, it's deeper, it's thicker than that. But if we want just a surface level basic version of repentance to be able to talk with someone as they're just getting new into this, right there it is. Repent then and turn to God. Turning to God, that's what repentance is. It's turning away from you, away from your life, away from the things that you've done, your great accomplishments, and also all of your sin and your misdeeds and your disobedience and rebellion and whatnot. And you're turning to God. And this verse is very simple there. Repent then and turn to God. Here's what you do. You find yourself in this situation, you have these choices, and we see it all around us. People choose light, people choose darkness. And you're coming to me and you're talking to me right now because you've seen something in me that has told you that I've chosen light. And I tell you what, I'm not perfect. I think that would be any one of us. As we're sharing things like this, we'd share that part. But there's something in our life that drew them to us, and that something was Jesus in us. That was the light that was in us. That was our choice to give our life to the light. And so we have the light and we have the dark. And the only way to get to the light is to turn from the dark because all have sinned. All are in this category. All have sinned and the wage of sin is death. We've all earned death. And so the only way to change that is to turn from that, is to repent. Repent then and turn to God. So repent means to turn to God and accept the hope that he has offered through his son. So then we get this little bitty section here, hope even in hopelessness. And it's just a couple of verses that are just really, really great verses to kind of pause on. Romans 5, 6 through 8. We go back to this idea of God loving us. You can connect this to John 3:16 that you looked at earlier. You see that just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, while we were still choosing the darkness, while we were still over here in this area, while we were still that person, a person with a mind that was hostile towards God because it was obeying sin and following sin, even in that state, God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Even in our helpless state, even in our hopeless state, to use that word hope, with this map of hope, God sent his son to die for us. And that's a great reminder to come back to after you've spent these verses talking about sin and the condition where we're at there, to bring them back to that and say, and connect that to, you know, God loves us. He wants everyone to come to salvation. He wants everyone to come to the knowledge of his son, Jesus Christ. He wants that. And even in your worst state, he still loved you enough to send his son for you. And I think that's potent. That's just powerful. And then 1 Corinthians 15 is, you know, we're looking at simple definitions in this little 19-passage pamphlet, program, website, whatnot that we've got there. And so 1 Corinthians 15 is my go-to passage for the simple definition of the gospel story. Are you there? Dave's following along on his phone, aren't you? Awesome, awesome, awesome. So 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved. If you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. And I love using or talking about that as a first importance, that we're going to be talking about a number of things here in the next few passages of things that the Bible says, do this to be saved, do this to be saved. And there's not one that's of first importance when it comes to a hierarchy of a priority of importance, but there's a sequential movement that happens. So when Paul says the gospel is of first importance, you have to have the gospel first. And these other things that we're going to talk about, they're different parts of the sequence. And there's not one that's more important than the others, but there's one that does come first, and it's the gospel. And that sets us up for this understanding that these other things that we're going to look at, there is a sequence, a logical sequence that's involved in these. So it's of first importance. And here he is. Here it is, the gospel story in just two verses, or a verse and a half, rather, that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures, that he was buried, and then he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Right there. One and a half verses. That is the gospel story right there. Paul goes on, he says, and then he appeared to Cephas, which that's Peter. You can probably hover over that and it'll tell you Peter on it. Yep, that is Peter. And then to the 12. And all this is completely available to you guys. This is all online. This is not something I'm pulling from anywhere in the church. We're straight online with this. And then to the 12, after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me, and last of all he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born. So that's just super, super awesome. One, it's just a simple version of the gospel. Here's Jesus. He died, he was buried, and he was raised again. That's the gospel story. That's what you need to believe. That's what's first important. And then this additional verses that you have there, to talk to him and say, you know, this isn't just one guy that cooked up a story about Jesus and wrote it down. And in 2,000 years, we've got, you know, thousands of people who, you know, millions of people who have believed it through the years. Jesus, when he raised from the dead, he appeared to Simon Peter, to Cephas. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12 disciples multiple times. And they appeared to 500 people. So it wasn't just this one little group. Jesus appeared to a large group of people, 500 people. Then he appeared to James. Then he appeared to some other apostles. And then he appeared to Paul as one abnormally born. And Paul makes that comment because Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And a lot of you guys would know that story. And so this idea of Jesus raising from the dead, it's not something that we believe without some level of proof or stability or authenticity to this belief. Jesus appeared to a lot of people after he raised from the dead, and that's something that I love that Paul brings up there, that we can bring up with someone, because we've got a lot of skeptical people out there. I know I was one myself before I became a Christian, and to hear things like that, hey, there was a lot of people he appeared to. This wasn't some hoax. This was a real deal. This is what happened, and this happened. And this is the gospel story, and this is what we need to believe in first, and it has the power to save you, is what Paul says in the very beginning of that passage. And then we get into the second to last section here, the response to God's offer of hope. And so Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." And that's just what we've been talking about, so you can bounce back to your map of hope. If you're using, you know, this combination, you can bounce back over to your pamphlet, or if you're online, you can, you know, the gospel has the power to save those who believe it. So if you believe the gospel, that's the first step. And then we get on to, that is the next one. Acts 16, verse 31, this is the story with Paul and the Philippian jailer. And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household." And some people will just stop there, and they'll say, well, all you have to do is believe and be saved. Well, more happened that day. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to them and all the others in his house, and you can even say that's what I'm doing here. That's what we're doing. We're sitting here, and I'm sharing God's word with you. And so believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. And then as we talk and we share, there's going to be more to this. And then after they did, after they talked to them, all the others in their house, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and his whole household were baptized. So here we have believing and baptism connected there together as far as parts of this, parts of responding to God's offer to hope. So and then we go down to Romans chapter 10 and we talk about confession. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. You say, well, a few minutes ago, you're just saying, and once you get to the third verse where you've got some different things going on, you might have someone, you know, a little confused look on their face, and you want to pick up on that because they're going to have a big question mark above their head. You're going to have to be able to see it on their face. But more than likely, they're going to be sitting there going, wait a minute, So we got believe, and then you throw baptism at me, and now we got confession, and there's repentance you mentioned sometime earlier. What, you know, what's going on here? And this might be a good time to just kind of pause and say there are a lot of different parts of this process of responding to God's offer for hope, and they're all important, but they come in a sequential order. You have first importance, which is the gospel story. You have to believe first. And then here we see that there's confession that comes, that when we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth and we're saved, Paul goes on and explains the latter part of this. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So he connects confession then to salvation in addition to belief in another place. Here we have confession being that part that brings salvation. So we believe and we confess. And then we go on to Acts 2:36, and we get kind of a running start into a famous passage. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And that's the gospel story in short. Peter earlier in this chapter shared the gospel story a little more back in verse 22, I think. But right there is the gospel story. And so when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. So they believed it. They were cut to the heart, which gives this feeling of repentance, the emotional side of repentance, the remorse, the guilt, the desire says, oh no, what did I do? I need to do something different with my life. And if someone's talking to you, they've come to that point. More than likely, somewhere they've come to that point because they're reaching out to you and they're talking to you. So even if they're not admitting it, even if they're not saying anything about that, you can just file that away in the back of your head and know if this person's talking to me and they're asking about the Bible, some part of them wants change. Some part of them wants a different life. So you can bring that up and say, you know, these guys, they heard the gospel and they were cut to the heart and they wanted to do something different. And they said, what should we do? What do we need to do to be saved? And so Peter and the other apostles said, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And I love that word, all. It just shows up in a number of these verses that we're looking at. So God wants how many people to come to be saved? All people. Who does he want to come to the knowledge of truth? All people. How many people sinned? All people. How many people does God so love the world count for? All people. And so even when we were still sinners, God sent his son, Christ, to die for us, to show his love for us. And then here we have this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, that's all of us, for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for all. So anyone who would respond to God's hope would be able to receive this. And these are additional pieces of that. So we've got now we've got believing, and you've got confession, and you've got repentance, and you've got baptism. And so now we've got all the elements there that the Bible mentions. And if someone says, well, I was taught that you just have to believe and confess and you'd be saved, and baptism is just an act of obedience, or I was baptized as a baby. I've had many conversations with people there, and those are some tough ones. It's easier to talk to someone who's never been to church. It's harder to talk to someone that's been to a church that doesn't quite follow what the Bible says about this topic, and so that makes it very difficult because they've been taught that, well, I've been baptized. I was baptized as a baby, and so that does get difficult. And my last conversation with someone on that, I'm still waiting to see if there, you know, if there's any fruit from that. That was a tough one. But then there have other ones. There have been many other ones that I've had where we've talked about that, and they said, you know what, if the Bible says it, and this is connected to repenting and believing, then I couldn't repent. I couldn't believe as a baby. So if this is where baptism happens, and it has to be in accord with all this, then I need to do it for real. I need to be baptized into Christ. And that's where you connect those things together. The baptism is connected to repenting. Baptism is connected to believing. And we have two verses that we just looked at. That Acts 16, it connects baptism to believing. And the one we just looked at in Acts chapter 2 connects baptism to repentance. And so they're all interconnected and interwoven. And so to pull one out and separate one doesn't make sense. But there is a nice sequence that you can follow and say, well, this is of first importance, and after you believe, then you have to do these things. And this is how we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and forgiveness of our sins, according to what Peter was sharing the Jews there in chapter 2 of Acts. And so how can we be forgiven, or how can we go to heaven? How can we have a relationship with God if we're not forgiven of our sins? So repentance and baptism is essential there for salvation, just as essential as confession and belief are. And we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is essential in this whole work also. And we read that in Titus 3, 4 through 7, the next passage. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we've done. And this passage actually dives into that too, that connecting this to the Romans 3:23, that we've all sinned, and 6:23 that we earn death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he saved us not because of the righteous things we've done. We can't earn salvation, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes through baptism, and the Holy Spirit is an important part of washing and rebirth, this renewal. And he's saying he saved us through the washing and for the rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he generally poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become his heirs, having the hope, there's that word, hope of eternal life. And so we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works on us to wash us and cleanse us. And so how can we be a Christian without that? How can we, and throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit's connected to baptism, and that's the point where he comes to live inside of us. And so that brings up all of these different elements to be able to sit and talk a little bit about that and say, okay, where are you on these things? Do you believe the gospel? Well, yeah, I believe the gospel. I that's why we're talking. Or it might be, you know, I'm not so sure about that yet. You said he appeared to 500 people, and you know, I wasn't aware of that. I'm going to have to think about this and whatnot. Maybe that's the time to say, okay, well, pray about it some. Talk to God. Let's get back together and talk more. You can pause this at any time. It's not going to go away. You know, unless our website goes down, then, you know, whatever. We've got other methods there. But in the 11 years I've been here, our website I don't think has been down for more than a day or 2 days at two different times. So things are, and we're with a reputable company right now, so I think we're set for that's not going to happen to you. So you can pause this at any time and say, okay, let's get back together and finish this in a couple weeks and let you think about this. And you can show them where the website is, or at that point you could hand them one of these and say, here are all the verses that we were just talking about. Go and maybe look through them and read through them again. Call me if you have anything. Write your number on there. And call me if you got any questions. But this time in the study is a good time to kind of pause and walk through those things and kind of find out where they're at. And they say, well, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I went to church as a kid, and I've kind of fallen away. I haven't been doing a whole lot of that lately. You might get that, or you might get the, you know, I'm not quite there yet. I don't know what I believe yet. And that's okay. You know, let them work through things. God is already working in this person's life. If they've been brought to you, God's already drawing them to him. And so that's awesome. So you just do all you can to walk them through. And I'm hoping in being able to share this tool with you, it'll take a little bit of the pressure off of you so that if this situation does open up, and then you're not going, oh no, what do I do? Or what do I share? I don't have the words or whatever. It's okay. Here are some verses that are great verses that speak for themselves. I just gave you some notes to help you out to give you a tool even better. So, but if you just have any of these little things that just have the verses. You can just go to those verses and they speak for themselves. And you can ask them, walk through those things. You know, do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Well, yeah, I believe that. Would you be willing to confess that, that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to turn from your life and turn to God? That's what repentance is. Are you willing to do that? Have you been baptized into Christ? Well, no, I haven't done that yet. Well, would you like to? You know, that's an easy question to ask. And man, when you're right there, it's a great feeling, isn't it, Terry? Terry's been there just recently. I can't remember his name, the squirrel guy. What? Paul. Yeah, I've got him in the Paul the squirrel hunter. But with Paul, you know, just being able to ask that question, well, if you've never been baptized, and why not? What's holding you back? And if they say, well, I guess nothing. Let's do it. You know, call me, just like Terry called me Friday night. He said, meet me down at the church at 8 o'clock Saturday. We're going to have baptism. So, okay. So, those are great phone calls. So that's a place where you can pause, and then we can go to Ephesians chapter 2. And this says a similar thing. This is a verse that you guys, a lot of you, be familiar with it. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not up from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And that's, I love that last part of that in this part of the conversation with someone, to be able to talk to them and say, you know what, God's got things planned for you. He's got some awesome things planned for you. And if you accept his hope, if you accept his salvation, that's not where it stops. That's where it starts. God's got some things planned for you, and he's just waiting for you to give your life to him, to open up the doors and to show you what he's got in store for you, what he wants you to do. He's got plans for you. And so that's a great place to go. And then you can walk through. I'm going to have to hit these very quickly. And these are very, actually, you know what, in lieu of time, I'll let you guys, you have the verses there. So instead of going to the verses, we'll just look at these. You've got Colossians 1, 13 through 22, and this actually mentions all three. And we've got a preacher three here to finish up. We've got rescued, reconciled, and redeemed. And this is what happens when we do respond and we give our life to God. This is what God does for us. He rescues us from our sin. To be rescued means, and we've got the definition, there we go, the result of hope. We've been rescued, freed, delivered from confinement or judgment. Jesus is our Savior, our rescuer. He rescues us from the result of living in the darkness, being an enemy of God, to being holy in his sight and free from accusation. So we go from being a mind that's hostile towards God to a mind that's led by the Spirit that is rescued. He rescues us from that. And actually in Colossians, he also talks about being reconciled and being redeemed. But then we go to 2 Corinthians 5 and we read about being reconciled. We've been reconciled. And that means our position with God has been settled harmoniously. If you reconcile something money-wise, bank-wise, then it means that it's been taken care of. It's been settled. And everything's fine. Everything's done. And that's what being reconciled with God is, that we've been reconciled harmoniously with God. And so that's, anyone in Christ is a new creation. And the old is gone, the past is gone, and Jesus' sacrifice allows us to become the righteousness of God. And then we are, in this, that passage, 2 Corinthians 5, is where we read about how we are ambassadors of Christ. And so as we've been reconciled, then we become ministers of reconciliation. We become his representatives in the world. And so just, you know, as you're having a conversation across the table with someone at lunch or sitting somewhere, you know, or even on the phone, if you're walking through this on the phone, if that's your, you know, your placement on that, then you can say, you know what, you're going to be in my shoes sooner than you might expect it to be. Because as soon as you become a Christian, as soon as you're reconciled, you're rescued and you're reconciled, and then you are entered into this idea of being an ambassador for Christ, a representative of Christ. And then 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 22 talks about how we've been redeemed, how we've been bought at a price. We've been redeemed, bought back for a purpose. We've been paid for by God with his son that's of greater worth than silver or gold. And that we've been purchased for lives of action to be holy. And there's a big section there in 1 Peter there. It talks about being holy. and loving those around us. And that's what, so if you've got someone, I know when I first decided to give my life to God, I was like, all right, I'm ready to do this. What do I do? And that first Peter passage, it's a heavy one. It's kind of thick, but it's a great place to say, okay, here's what you do. And you can lay that in their lap and say, you know, you've been rescued, you've been reconciled, you've been redeemed for this purpose, to be holy, live in the light, walk in the light, make choices in the light, because that's who you belong to now. And the simple side of that, love each other. Just love other people. How did you come to me? You know, was it because I was, you know, grumpy and hateful? And no, it was because I was a loving person. And that really can explain any action, any light that you saw from my life, any fruit that you saw that dropped from my tree, was simply because of love. I was sharing the love of Christ with you because that's what was shared with me. And so hopefully that will be something that, if the opportunity presents itself for you, that you'd be able to say, that's not going to work. You'd be able to say, hey, I can sit down with you. I can talk with you about this. And so that'll be a tool that you can use and something you can walk through with someone and something you can go to yourself. And you don't have to go, you know, verbatim or whatever. It's not a requirement, but here it is. I give it to you, something that's kind of just a collection of scriptures, and you can look through there and say, okay, these scriptures work for me. I don't quite understand this one enough to explain it to someone else. It's okay. You know, all the parts are there in a few different places with these different scriptures. So that's a tool to use. So for those of you guys who are here and you are Christians, then I want to encourage you, be the light. Walk in the light so that people see the light. Do deeds of light so that people will praise your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. Don't hide under a bowl. Stand up on a lampstand and let them see the good things you do. Be the light of the world. Allow the fruit of the Spirit to be in your life. Be connected to the branch. Watch the soil that you have. Know that the seed must die to bring life. And if you've died in Christ, then you died to bring life. And that soil, as we grow up, we multiply. And that's the goal of being a Christian. We want to be able to share that with other people. If we're just here on Sunday morning, we're praising God and we're going to heaven, that's great for us. But the goal, the idea, Jesus said, I want you to go. I want you to go out and tell people about this. I want you to save people with this message of salvation. I want you to go out in the world and tell them who I am so that they can know who Jesus is, so they can know salvation. And so this is what we should do. And so I want to encourage you to be the light, bear fruit, and when people come and ask you about your faith, open those doors and allow those doors to open. And if it gets to a point where you're saying, okay, this person's ready for a sit-down conversation, then talk to them. Say, hey, can we, you know, maybe meet up somewhere, or can I give you a call? And I'd like to talk to you about this. You've been asking about my faith for a while, and I'd like to really share with you a little more of an in-depth side of my faith and share some scripture with you. And a lot of people, especially if you've got a relationship and they've already started talking to you, they might, okay, yeah, we can do that. What's it going to hurt, you know? And that's an open door. And you get, I believe in the power of scripture. You get scripture into their heart and their head, it's going to grow. It's going to take root. And I love that. So I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. If it's not this tool, something as far as being outreach oriented and an outreach mindset, this idea that if I'm growing up, I need to multiply. Fruit drops off my tree. The goal of fruit dropping off the tree is those seeds make more fruit trees. And that's what we want to do with our life. And so that's one group. If there's anyone here this morning and you're listening to Map of Hope, maybe I wasn't giving you a tool. Maybe you're listening to that for the first time and saying, you know what? I've never responded to that. And I might not know. You might surprise me. I think most people in here have, but there might be someone in here who's never responded in that manner. Maybe you've believed all your life and you've confessed, but you've never repented, or you've never been baptized into Christ as a result of your repentance and your belief and your confession. We want to invite you to come forward during this next song. I'm going to pray in a minute, and then we're going to sing a song of invitation. I want to invite you to come forward and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to be baptized into him. I'll invite the band to come forward as I go on and pray.